views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from, north of Seattle in the San Juan Islands, the beautiful San Juan Islands, here on KKNW AM 1150 at Hubbard Radio. You might be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WPLQ AM 1230 radio, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. And I know today, just through the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com, we've had listeners from over 90 countries worldwide. So wherever you're listening from today, whenever you're listening, you're going to be glad you joined us, because I've got a VIP guest today, somebody I've been following personally for decades, who's really helped me. But before I get into saying who that is, I want to have a little teaser there. And I first want to say hello to my better half there in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hey, good morning there, Christina. Good afternoon. I'm sorry I waited for you just to kind of introduce me a little bit further like we normally do. But hey, I just want to send out a happy early Easter to you.
Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you. And I was going to question, like, since you're up in the San Juans, does that mean you have to, like, jump from island to island in a boat to find all the Easter eggs? I mean, because that would only seem appropriate, right? Everyone out in their little dinghies and stuff, like, you know, rowing around as quickly as they can to find
it. Actually, we hide Easter eggs in the eagle's nest.
Oh, that's kind of scary. And also, that seems pretty dangerous. But I'll give you that credit, I guess.
Yeah. And it's beautiful up here, and it's one of my chances to connect with nature, and it's fabulous. And it's my son's spring break.
Yes.
And he brought, you know, a zillion friends. And so it's just kind of a little crazy. So mom's getting some quiet time out in nature, and the boys are getting wild time
good. And you're also the coolest mom probably on the planet to have them all up there. So, you know.
Well, you know, my 16-year-old doesn't think that, but that's okay.
Well, I need to have a little chat with him. Okay. Just let me have give me 5 minutes. I can handle it.
You know, I'm so excited about a guest today, Benny. We are talking about Judith Orloff. She is a long-term author who has taken a different kind of perspective on things. She is, you know, a trained medical doctor. She's a New York Times bestselling author of numerous books, including Second Sight, Positive Energy, Emotional Freedom, Intuitive Healing, and The Power of Surrender. And her work has been featured on the Today Show, on CNN, the Oprah Magazine, PBS, Psychology Today, and USA Today, among so many others. And she is, she's got a new book out, and it is a wonderful book called The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. So she is putting on the map this notion that there's a whole group of people, and we'll talk about what that percentage is and how it's defined. There's a whole group of people who need to relate to the world in a different way and have special needs and special gifts. And I'm so grateful to have her today, Dr. Judith Orloff. Judith, thanks so much for joining us here. Welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
My pleasure. You know, Judith, I love your story. I remember watching a presentation of yours many years ago. Of course, we were, you know, it was a couple of decades ago, I'm sure, and we're probably both like 12 at the time. You were talking about how you were coming out of the closet as an empath who also happened to be an MD. Can you share a little bit about your path and how you've come to understand the importance of being an empath and the special needs of being an empath?
Right. Well, I was born empathic, I think, or as an empath. An empath is somebody who can really absorb the energy of other people in the world into their own body, which has its pluses and its minuses. And when I was a child, I didn't know how to really assimilate that or do with that. I did not uh-huh. know how to deal with all that energy coming my way. And so what happened was that I absorbed all the energy of the world, and I got tired. I got, you know, anxious. I got depressed. And I couldn't go into crowded places or shopping malls or big parties or big stadiums.
Right. Because
there's too much energy there. The energy fields of everyone would be overlapping there.
Uh-huh.
And little did I know, as an empath, that I was picking all that up. And
yeah.
so I didn't have any support system to really help me understand that.
Right. And, you know, I know that scientists have shown that we actually do have light emanating from us. Our energy fields extend well beyond the edges of our body. And yes, indeed, they do interact. And so for somebody who is tuned into that, it can be overwhelming.
It is. And unfortunately, traditional medicine doesn't have a context for which
yeah.
to understand this, because they don't yet believe that subtle energy exists. So for all you empaths out there, you know, you have to recognize the limitations of traditional medicine. You know,
right.
if you go to your traditional doctor who doesn't understand subtle energy, he's not going to diagnose you properly as an empath. And
right.
the problems that I've seen is that empaths get over-medicated because they come in with exhaustion, adrenal fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and they get an awful lot of medication, which is not the first-line treatment for empaths.
Mm-hmm. So why does it affect empaths physically? I mean, I know that there's like this information exchange in the energy fields, that they're basically, you know, sensitive to this overlapping energy of a space, the energy from other people. Why does it affect us on a physical level?
Well, it's interesting. I talk about the science of empaths and empathy in the book, and there are a couple of reasons why empaths absorb. And one is that they have a hyperactive mirror neuron system. These are the compassion neurons in our brain and the compassion neurotransmitters. And so it's thought that these neurons are hyperactivated in empaths. And so they have compassion oozing out of them, you know, really a lot of compassion. And that system in the brain is really finely tuned. And there's also, you know, other scientific evidence about emotional contagion, where it's been proven if you're, say, in an office environment and someone has anxiety, that anxiety can spread like a virus throughout
right.
the work environment. And empaths are particularly sensitive to picking up emotional contagion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So there is science, and then, of course, what's in our energy field? I know that there's some scientific research that says that the healing and both healing and illness actually start beyond the edges of the body in that field. So I guess it makes sense
right.
that if all that anxiety or anger or, you know, whatever negativity is affecting the energy field, then that in turn can affect the physicality.
Oh, absolutely. It's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Mind, body, spirit, and energy field. And empaths are so super sensitive to energy that they can feel who you are a mile away.
Right.
You know, my empath patients, you know, a lot of them come to me not trusting what they pick up. And so they question themselves. And so what I want to help people with a book do is really trust your empathic intuition and really, you know, say, okay, I'm standing next to this person and I'm feeling tired and sick around them. And instead of questioning yourself, and saying, oh, I'm neurotic, what's wrong with me? Just say, okay, there's something going on here where I'm taking on their energy. I'm not comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to begin to ask the really smart and kind questions to yourself. And so you train yourself to think in terms of, am I an empath and am I taking something on that isn't mine?
Right, right. So I know you have a series of questions to ask yourself about whether or not you're an empath, and I absolutely love that. And we're going to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to have you share with our listeners what some of those questions are, what are some of the signs that we as individuals are empaths? And if we are empaths and therefore highly sensitive, how we can sort of shield ourselves from that negative energy and share our gifts with the world. More with Dr. Judith Orloff when we return here in a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9255. 972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraloos.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolve, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to the author of The Empath Survival Guide, Dr. Judith Orloff. Now, Judith, before the break, you were talking about how you as an empath, you know, get overwhelmed, and we talked a little bit about the science. So I know that there are a lot of people out there wondering, you know, am I an empath? You've got a series of very insightful questions in your book. What are some of the signs that we as an individual happen to be an empath?
Yeah, I'll share with you some of the self-assessment questions that I have in the book. Are you an empath? That's it's so important that you diagnose yourself. You can take this quiz and realize how much of an empath you are. All right, first question is, have I been labeled as overly sensitive, shy, or introverted? And that's often said as a put-down.
Right.
Like, you're overly sensitive. What's wrong with you?
Right. Yeah, I heard that growing up.
Yeah, I did, too. A lot of empaths did. Do I feel like I don't fit in? A lot of empaths feel like they don't belong here on Earth. And when I was a little girl, I would have a fantasy that a spaceship would come and take me away to my true planet.
Yeah.
Or I could be with people.
I felt that too, yes.
Yeah. I could be with my own kind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But empaths are my own kind. And so it's beautiful to have them on Earth. And part of empath awakening is finding a community of empaths with for support.
Right.
Do I frequently get overwhelmed or anxious? Do arguments and yelling make me ill?
Yeah.
But that's very common with empaths. It's just our angry energy and loud voices can make them ill.
Mm-hmm.
Do crowds drain me? And do I need alone time to revive myself?
Mm-hmm.
That's key for an empath, is the alone time. Do noise, smells, or nonstop talkers overstimulate me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do I have chemical sensitivities or a low tolerance for scratchy clothes?
Uh-huh.
Empaths need soft materials on their body because they're very sensitive to what's on their skin, and they need to, you know, energetically and just the material. Do I prefer taking my own car places so I can leave when I need to?
Oh, yeah. And that's sort of a tricky one to navigate because, you know, people say, well, we should just ride in together. And sometimes it makes sense, but oftentimes it's kind of like, well, then you don't have an easy out.
Well, I don't usually ride together unless the people know that I need to leave early.
Uh-huh.
So I set that limit. And, you know, when I ride with somebody, then I just tell them. And my friends know about me. You know, so, you know, if they're not prepared to leave early, they'll just say, that's fine, take your own car. I mean, they don't feel insulted.
Right.
Yeah, but it's important because if you don't want to get stuck in a social situation for 5 hours, you know, and your limit, you have to know what your limit time is as an empath.
Right. And you never know what kind of energy you're going to be stepping into because it could be something that is actually, you know, a very positive, loving environment, and it could be something that where there's a lot of inauthenticity and you know, there might be some anxiety or some tension. And so if you don't know what you're going to step into energetically, it's hard to know whether you're going to want to leave early or not.
Well, it isn't really for me because even if I'm in a totally loving environment, I'm usually done after 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't enjoy staying a really long time anywhere. I always want to go home. And so I'll enjoy, you know, the 2 hours I'm there, and then I'll just stay until I feel energetically full. And so each person is different. So you might go into a loving, positive environment and just want to stay all night long because it feels so good. And so each empath has to decide how they're feeling.
Right.
And so that's just something, a question to ask yourself and a limit to set for yourself so you can tell people and let them know that you love them, but you need to leave, or maybe you need to take a break. As some of my empath patients, you know, at a party, if it gets overstimulating, they'll go to their car, read some poetry, do some breathing, meditating, come on back in.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just a way for empaths to take care of themselves. Okay, do I have a low threshold for pain? Do I react strongly to caffeine or medication? That's important because empaths often need a sliver of the medications that most people need because their systems are so sensitive that they may not need as much. And what I've seen in the practice of medicine is empaths are given huge elephant doses of medication that are typical, you know, to give to people, and it's just too much for them, and so they just can't take it. But they can take it if it's a sliver and just begin to build it up and just see how your body feels around it. That's what's most important.
Mm-hmm. whenever I get anything prescribed, or almost whenever I get something prescribed, I will often start with a much smaller dosage than what they say, just to see how I'm going to react. It's kind of like I do my own little experiment, you know, without telling the doctor.
Yeah, you have to know if your body's going to take it in well.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. And even my empath patients who are on antidepressants, you know, they need to, like, start with a little sliver, and they respond to a little sliver, even though traditional medicine says that's not possible and that it's a placebo effect.
Right.
So, you know, the traditional medicine is not caught up with this aspect of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for everyone out there who's listening, if you're an empath, to know that. And if you can, seek out an integrative medical practitioner, somebody who can understand this aspect of you.
Right.
Yeah, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need a long time to recuperate after being with difficult people or energy vampires?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, and I hope everyone gives themselves that kind of respite and that period to reboot in the quiet. Empaths reboot in the quiet. And they love the silence. They love their meditation space. They love water. It's important to jump into water if you want to clean off energy from you, yourself. And so that's important to take that time to replenish.
So, Judith, can I ask you, are all introverts empaths, or can you be an introvert and not be an empath?
Yeah, you can be an introvert and not be an empath. Most empaths are introverts, although some can be extroverts, but most are quieter, but not all. But introverts can be quiet and they could be inward, but they don't have the quality of absorbing energy, so they're not empaths. So that's the deciding factor, is whether or not you actually take it on into your own body. In addition, empaths have incredible intuitive talent. And so if you're an intuitive empath, somebody who has enhanced intuition, you know, I write about, you can be a plant empath, somebody who really communes with plants, or an animal empath. You know, I believe that St. Francis was an animal empath. He used to give sermons to the birds and the fish. And when he'd go on these long, silent retreats, his animal companions would be with him, not people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at historically the empaths, you know, over the centuries, and Albert Einstein, I believe, was an empath. And, you know, he talked a lot about his sensitivities and finding communities of like-minded people who can support the imagination and support sensitivities.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so there's animal empaths, there's earth empaths. The earth empaths can feel the changes in the earth and the solar flares and react to those electromagnetic changes.
Right.
Yeah, so their bodies are sensitive to that kind of radiation. And I want to say some of my animal empath patients are vegan, because they say when they eat meat, they can feel the suffering of the slaughtering of the animal.
Yeah, I've been a vegetarian most of the last 35 years because I feel like I'm eating my friends.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've my two boys eat meat, and it's just, but, and I'm sort of respectful when people feel the need for meat. You know, I care about how the animals are handled, of course, but it's kind of like, yeah, you know, just, it feels out of alignment for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you respect that.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of the book, is to really share that whatever you're feeling as an empath is fine, but just respect it. You know, don't question yourself. Don't give yourself a hard time about it.
But families, friends, work colleagues, and society at large judge the sensitivity, don't they?
Well, they don't. Like, they don't understand it usually. You know, if you have a loving family of empaths, they'll get it. Or if you have a partner who's an empath, or if you have a partner who can hear your empathic needs and honor them and love you and cherish your needs, that's ideal. That's what you want.
So that brings up the issue of, how do you have intimacy but also have those boundaries? Is it possible to combine the two?
Oh, it is, and I'm currently in that experiment. And I wrote a chapter on empaths and love, and so everyone go to that chapter if you're interested in being an empath in an intimate relationship, because a lot of empaths choose to be alone because it's just too much to deal with all the challenges that come up with intimacy, particularly if your partner doesn't get it. And so my challenge as an empath in love and in a relationship, you know, has always been I long to have a soulmate and I long to be alone. So, you know, how do you reconcile that? Yeah, that's a common challenge for empaths. It is possible to reconcile it, but it means really having a lot of authentic conversations with your mate and talking about what your needs are and taking those needs. You know, for instance, I'm on a book tour now, and my mate wanted to go out to a concert tonight, and I'm leaving for 10 days, and I was up practically all night long last night on Coast to Coast Radio, and so I want to make him happy, but on the other hand, I don't have the energy to go out to this beautiful, wonderful concert of people that I would enjoy if I need to stay home. And so, you know, I'm faced with saying no, and I don't want to say no to him. And there's a part of me that wants to go, but there's a part that knows if I go, I'm going to not conserve my energy for my book tour.
And speaking of your book tour, I know you're coming to Seattle, and we're going to be going to a quick break. But when we return, Judith, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners here in the Seattle area about you've got three different events coming up, and they look very interesting. And so you have three opportunities to see Dr. Judith Orloff in Seattle. But we'll talk more about that when we return. More with Judith and here in just a few moments.
By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady bigger. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Judith Orloff, and she, of course, is a New York Times bestselling author, and her latest book, The Empath Survival Guide, is out. And Judith, I'm so excited you're coming to Seattle. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your Seattle tour?
Right. I'm going to be coming to Seattle next week. And I will be at East West Bookshop on Friday night, April 21st, giving a talk and a book signing. And then the next day, I'll be doing a workshop there to go deeper for empaths on the power of intuition and empathy to heal. And then on the 23rd, I'll be at the Center for Spiritual Living, which is Sandpoint Way in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be doing the morning service and then a workshop in the afternoon. I'll be there on the 23rd. And the information is on my website, too, which is drjudithorloff.com.
Yes. And that's drjudithorloff.com.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's great. It's that's quite a weekend. And so people will have three different opportunities to see you, you know, come to one, come to all of them. But it's an unusual opportunity to have Judith here in Seattle. So I'm grateful that you're coming to my town.
Yeah, I'm excited to come to Seattle. I love Seattle.
Yeah, well, I can't guarantee that we'll have any decent weather for you this time of year, but we'll do our best.
Okay.
You know, one of the things I'm so fascinated by with empaths is that empaths often end up with narcissists.
Yeah.
Now, I know people talk about, you know, narcissists as though, like, narcissism and being self-centered are the same things. But narcissism is actually something that goes beyond self-centeredness. Can you share with our listeners about what is a narcissist? And then, of course, why we end up attracted to narcissists if we're an empath?
Well, narcissists have empathy deficient disorder. And that is really a disorder where they don't have the same kind of empathy that we have.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't have that unconditional loving feeling for others, and nor do they really care about others' feelings. It's so hard to grasp if you're an empath and
right.
You're around a narcissist. But I wanted to write a section in the book on the toxic attraction between empaths and narcissists because it's so common. I mean, you could imagine why a narcissist would love an empath, you know, because
right.
They're so loving and giving and they
uh-huh.
want to please you. But, you know, from an empath's point of view, a narcissist is a toxic energy vampire
right.
because they can't return the love that you need.
Uh-huh. So,
and empaths need love. And an empath in a situation with a narcissist trying to be satisfied with crumbs of love, it just is not going to be healthy for an empath. And I've seen it take a physical toll, an emotional toll, and narcissists also use gaslighting, which is a technique which makes you feel like you're crazy.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah, and they do that with empaths, and so it could have a very, very disastrous effect on
right.
the well-being of an empath.
So, you know, I understand the logic of, you know, I understand that narcissists, they need their fix. It's their adoration fix. It's the love
yeah.
fix. It's that energetic, you know, zing that they need to keep having be fed, even if it's negative. You know, they want that connection, that attention, the sucking of that energy. So why would an empath want to be with somebody like that? Are we trying to help them? Are we trying to heal them? Are we in our own woundedness? What would encourage an empath to connect with a narcissist?
Because the way a narcissist projects in the beginning is totally different than when you get to know them. They're a different person, so it's very, very sneaky and seductive, where they seem like they have empathy. They lavish you with attention. They are present for you. They listen to you. You know, it's very seductive, but it's not real, and it doesn't last. So what I suggest, if you suspect someone's a narcissist, is provoke a conflict. And if they don't do well with conflicts, if you don't go along with their system, they're going to revert into their tendency to be cold and punishing and self-absorbed. And they're going to get back at you. And narcissists are not accountable for their part in any interaction, which makes intimacy impossible.
Yes, I've had experience with narcissists, and it's toxic and it's crazy-making because sometimes on the surface, it's like things seem fine.
Yeah.
And then the gaslighting comes in, and they'll say, well, all I said was, or all I did was, that, you know, you misinterpreted it, or that wasn't a bad tone of voice, or whatever it is. And so you start to, like, even though you're really sensitive, you start to actually question your own sanity.
That's what happens, and that's why it's so destructive. And you question your own sensitivities and your own intuition. And so that's disastrous for empaths, because empaths need to trust themselves, and they need to say, this is what I'm feeling. Well, I think you're crazy making with this. But they don't go up against the narcissist, because they're so madly in love with them, they don't want to lose them.
Right.
Because they've been seduced. And so and they think they could heal them, which is a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because they can't. But you know, I've talked to so many people, so many empaths about this, who have gone through this process of falling in love with a narcissist, or having a narcissistic parent, or even a narcissistic child, and the process of awakening that can come as a result of that. So
tell me more about what sorts of awakenings can come from, being in a relationship with a narcissist.
Well, one thing is trusting yourself. And learning to set very clear limits and boundaries with something that doesn't feel right. And if someone, you know, makes you feel crazy, you look at that as a huge red flag that there's something wrong with that person, you know, and to not buy into it. So it's a matter of learning to believe in yourself, honoring your sensitivities, and setting clear limits and boundaries, so that you want to keep those people at a distance, you know, or away. If you can remove them. Or, you know, just have fun with them. Don't get in intimate relationships with them. I mean, you could have superficial relationships with narcissists that are quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you keep it superficial.
So I'm thinking in terms of, the energetic relationship between a narcissist and an empath. If you're talking about the two different energy fields, what would be a good visual, Judith, about the interaction?
Oh, God, there was a scary visual that I posted on Facebook one time, where you have this beautiful empath woman holding a skeleton, you know, that's about what it is, you know, clinging on to the skeleton and loving, wrap the legs and arms around the skeleton, because there's nobody home there, you know, you're not, that's not the right place to give your beautiful love.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of research about this, and I've, you know, processed things in therapy regarding this. And one of the things I find so fascinating is that for the longest time, I had this assumption that other people, including the narcissist I had been dealing with, have empathy, have the same kind of empathy. And it's kind of like, but if they could only understand my perspective, you know, that somehow they're going to jump into that. And then I've found out through, you know, therapy and research that they actually don't have the same kind of empathy-centered development in their brains. And so they really are lacking empathy.
It's true, but that's so hard for empaths to get. But hopefully through our conversation and conversations like this, empaths can begin to consider it, because it's still not who empaths are. Empaths, you know, are just oozing empathy. They can't grasp that everything can't be healed with compassion.
Right.
And, you know, as a psychotherapist, I can tell you, if a narcissist comes in with his or her mate, they're not going to be accountable for themselves. They're going to say, it's all your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did this and you did that, and I have evidence for that. But they're never going to say, I think I played a part in it. That's not what they do. So that's why therapy doesn't really work with full-blown narcissists, because they can't do the work because they can't own their part.
Yeah, although I do also think that narcissists sometimes can say the right thing, so you think that they are actually getting it. So
very good point. But when you give them homework and go home and, you know, practice this, they can't do it. You know, beyond a day or a week, they can't keep it up.
So
you've got to keep your eyes open, empaths, and find relationships where people can honor your sensitivities and honor you. You know, it's very hard for empaths to get to the point of realizing that, to not accept anything less than friendships and love relationships that honor your sensitivities and revere them and help you honor yourself. Support. You need emotional support and sensitivity support. It's essential. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting a battle every day at home with somebody who is not able to honor you. And I personally feel that being alone is better than that. You know, and being alone is a beautiful thing. Not all empaths want to be in a relationship, and that's fine. It's just a choice. It depends what you want to be your teacher. You know, if you want that time on your own and you want to learn and grow in that way, that's perfect. But if you really want a soulmate or you want a relationship, that's a different set of lessons to learn.
Yeah, so again, it's fascinating to me about learning to set the boundaries and learning to trust ourselves. And in personal relationships, I understand about the setting of the boundaries. It can get a little trickier in the work environment, can't it, Judith?
Yeah, definitely. If you have a narcissistic boss or a narcissistic coworker, it's different because you can't eliminate them unless you want to change your job, which I would recommend doing. You know, if you have a narcissistic boss, that's very hard because, you know, you're suffering from their lack of empathy all the time.
Right.
But the only way to deal with them in the work environment is to stroke their egos and frame things in terms of what will please them or what will benefit them. Because that usually works. If you tell a narcissist how great they are, they're going to respond.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to, you know, if you want to take a break and, you know, you can't say, I'm just so tired, I really need to have some time off, because you probably won't get it.
Right.
But if you say, I am going to be thinking about our business and how we can promote it, you know, then the narcissist might give you the week off.
Right. So if you put it in terms of their best interest, then you can get what you want or need.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Dr. Judith Orloff here in just a few moments.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijewan on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm so pleased to be having a conversation with Judith Orloff. You know, Judith, we talked a lot about what it is to be an empath and setting boundaries for ourselves. What do we do when we're parenting a child who happens to be an empath?
It's such a great question. There's a chapter on raising empath children and being empathic parents, because both parents and children need to be really on top of this. And empath children are very special. They can sense and know things that other children don't. Mm-hmm. They like a lot of alone time and play time for their imagination.
Right.
And they tend to get overwhelmed by other children if there's too much contact or too many back-to-back play dates. And so they need to have a special kind of pacing and understanding. And like if you have people over to your house, they might climb underneath the stairway and hide there and just watch.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not participating. That's their way of watching and observing and participating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not good to drag them out from under the stairway and make them participate in the way you want them to. You know,
yeah.
Just trust your child and have conversations about their sensitivity. And sometimes empath children will pick up things from schoolmates and they won't know what's going on, but they know they won't feel so well around certain children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that you have that conversation with them and bring that out and go, oh, tell me about it. And then you can help explain to them that sensitive people sometimes are sponges and you could take on this and it's perfectly normal, but not everyone will understand it. So, you know, you have these really nice conversations with your child to make them okay with what they're experiencing. But the downside is that with boys, especially who are empaths, they often get bullied at school because, you know, they're labeled as sissies or weak or, you know, all kinds of derogatory names, and they're made fun of. And, you know, they don't want to participate in video games because they're too loud and obnoxious. They want to go into nature. They want to meditate. They want to read poetry and think. And so they're made fun of. And so the parents really need to be the advocate, you know, if your child is being bullied, to put an end to it quickly, go to the school, talk to authorities, you know, just really be fierce about that. And
you
know parents who have had to do that, and it works. It works, but you have to take a very strong, no-tolerance stand of the school or anyone bullying your child because of the sensitivities. And your child will really like that for you to stand up for them.
Mm-hmm. My oldest son, I'm convinced is an empath, and he's definitely an introvert, and he would get very overwhelmed with more than two or three kids around, and he, you know, he eventually developed a social life by the time he was four or five, kids in the neighborhood, certain kids. But if there were more than two or three, you know, he would typically just sort of exit. And he would be so overwhelmed. I actually chose to homeschool him for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it was interesting because he had such an imagination, and he could spend hours exploring about something, you know. And yet I knew that if he were in, like, a regular school, it would have been very detrimental to his development and to his soul. And so it's, you know, it was one of those things that I don't think at the time I understood. If I'd read your book and looked through the questions of, is your child an empath, you know, I would have understood at that point that he was indeed an empath. But I was doing my best to kind of navigate that. And I think it helped him at the time to not be around so many kids.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And then he wanted to go back to school?
Yes, he did. And he ended up going to several classes a week as a part of this homeschool network. So he had, like, he sort of eased his way into school. And by the time he was in high school, he was, you know, at a regular school. But still, he felt like a fish out of water. And you know, there's a lot of stimulation in those kinds of situations.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful that you listen so closely to his needs.
Yeah,
that's really wonderful.
We try as moms, as parents, but it's always hard to know, like, what's the best choice for our children. So, Judith, if we as a parent are an empath, what are some of the challenges that can come?
Well, raising children is stressful for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So, but for empaths who need that much alone time, it could be super stressful because you don't really get it sometimes, and you have to fight so hard to create it.
Mm-hmm.
And even a few minutes, I suggest my patients who are empaths and parents practice the 3-minute meditation to connect to their heart, so that they could have those 3 minutes to reboot their energy, you know, mm-hmm. away from their child. Just have someone else watch the child for just three minutes, and go in and breathe and center yourself and really reconstitute yourself through connecting to your heart while focusing on, let's say, an image of nature or the night sky. There's something really beautiful that you can tune into. Mm-hmm. So that you can get in the habit of coming back to your heart center, which is the center for your energy. You know, that's the beautiful energy you want to contact. And so that's a quick to do if you're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, of course, if you can have help and you can delegate to a mate or to a nanny, that's ideal. But I know a lot of people don't have mates. They're single parents and
mm-hmm.
can't afford a nanny.
Right. So, and it gets tricky over the years, too, because as our children grow and they become more independent, they're still experiencing, you know, hurts, you know, and it might not be the skinning of the knee so much as the difficult relationships in school or,
yeah.
you know, their own sort of growing pains and step as they step into adulthood. How do we as empaths kind of separate from that as opposed to try to take it on and fix it?
That's a great point, because what empaths do is they want to try and fix everyone, their children, their friends, the little birds that, you know, are wounded. They
uh-huh.
want to fix everyone. And, you know, on a very basic codependency level, you have to know that that's not healthy, nor is it possible to fix anyone.
Uh-huh.
And so empaths kind of have to find more balance with that so they don't overly try and fix everyone. If I tried to fix my patients, I would be a terrible therapist.
Right.
Because that isn't what creates healing. What creates
yeah.
healing is if you can hold the energy for someone, be a guide, be empathetic with them, but have faith in them, in their strength. Don't try and
right.
usurp their power and think they can't do it. Your children will have to stumble and fall, and they're going to have to pick themselves up. But you can be the bright light before and after that's around them. But you can't do it for them as much as your motherly instincts might want you to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is such great information. I'm thrilled that you've written this book, because I think it's in need for so many people, the Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. And Judith, I want to also reiterate about your events. Let's see, you're coming to Seattle. You're going to be here Friday, April 21st, East West Bookshop, doing a talk and a book signing. And then Saturday, April 22nd, it's a day-long workshop, The Power of Intuition and Empathy to Heal, at East West Bookshop. And then, of course, you're going to do a Sunday one as well, as you mentioned before, at the Center for Spiritual Living on Sunday, April 23rd. Thank you so much for joining us here today, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing, Judith.
Oh, thank you. I've really enjoyed our show.
And thank you for joining us here today. The recording of this will be available on ChristineUpchurch.com, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.